Thank you, folks. I believe I can kind of hear the splashing of the boat getting closer. Together, the jewels home. Thank you so much for that special. Appreciate so much Sheriff Grady Judd being with us. I brag on our sheriff when I'm out of state somewhere. I don't know. I'm a little plain sometime. You may find out in a minute. But there was a fellow, it's been quite a while back. He wasn't joking that much either. He was talking about, I'm going to come to Florida, and he was going to do some bad things. I said, why don't you come on? We got a nice jail down there, and a sheriff that'll let you see the inside of it real quick. And I'm proud I could say that and mean it. Amen? That's exactly the way we've got it. We're blessed. I think we're blessed as a county here, to have the kind of sheriff we have. Open your Bibles to the last book, Revelation. Revelation chapter 6, I'm going to read familiar two verses. And I'm going to speak to you this morning on a little bit of a subject to go along with Roundup Sunday. I'm going to call it the most infamous horse. The most infamous horse. That's about all they can get on the tape. I could say the most infamous horse there ever was or something like that. Revelation chapter 6, let's just read verses 1 and 2, and I'll put them a little more in context in a little bit, maybe. John, of course, given the revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ as he's exiled on the Isle of Patmos, future things. And he said, I saw when the Lamb, that's the Lord Jesus, capital L, opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now you remember in chapter 1, John gets the vision. In chapters 2 and 3, messages come to seven churches. In chapter 4, we that are looking for the rapture believe we're about to be caught out in chapter 4 like John was. John was caught up to heaven. And in chapter 5, he saw a seven-sealed book in the hand of him that sat on the throne. And then he was able to see the book taken and the seals begin to open. And what I read you here was the first seal and the first horse. There's four of them in this chapter. But the first horse that came forth here was a white horse. Generally, we associate that with being good, but not always. Remember when you went to the cowboy movies? Listen, you'll learn a lot if you pay attention to them old B movies. The good guy rode a white horse, didn't he? Most of the time, amen. If he was a real good guy, he got beat up a little bit, but he won in the end. And if he was really macho, he didn't kiss the girl in the end, amen. Y'all remember that? But you know, we think about horses. Most folks love horses unless they've had a bad experience with one. They mostly, you know, as a kid, I never owned one, never have owned one, but I still like horses. I love to see pretty horses. And they were kind of my love growing up. How many of you ever went to the movies? And I'm talking about old time now. I'm talking about before a lot of the bad stuff. Didn't have the cussing and stuff in them and the nudity and all that got now. But how many of you ever remember the movie My Friend Flicker? Look at the hands going up. Educated crowd I'm preaching to today. Remember Flicker was the pretty red horse. But then how many of you remember the sequels to that? The other two, there was another one named Thunderhead. That was the son of Flicker. And then there was the son of Thunderhead. So they were making money, I reckon, so they kept making the movies, remember? But I enjoyed those movies. Most of us went to see the horse as much as we did the cowboy sometime. How many of you remember Roy Rogers' horse's name? Trigger, there you go. You passed. How about Gene Autry's horse? What was the name? Champion. Got it. Amen. You're going to get an A in my class. But, you know, we kids, we enjoyed that. We watched that, and we argued about which one was the smartest and which one was the fastest. We didn't pay much attention to who was winning the big races, you know, like Man of War or some of those historical racehorses. We didn't know that. We just was concerned about what we saw there in the movies. But none of them are the infamous horse that I'm talking to you about this morning. All I wanted to do in school, and the teacher would say, draw a picture. All my pictures turned out to look like horses. Just about every time they did. I mean, I liked them, and that was all there was to it. But what was the most infamous horse or famous horse? Now, what I read to you, really, when it occurs, is going to be the most infamous horse. I just read it, even though it's a white horse. Here in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 6, it's a bad guy that rides this horse. And he's a counterfeit. That's why the horse is white. Because the good guy comes in Revelation 19, that's the Lord Jesus, and he's on a white horse. So this faker, this counterfeit, this imposter shows up in chapter 6, coming in, riding on a white horse, and we know him generally in Christian circles and churches. We know him as the beast or the Antichrist. And he's going to come in, he's going to be a con, he's going to be a fake, he's going to be a deceiver. And that brings me to the horse that probably you've heard somebody talk about. And truth is, it wasn't really a horse. But did you ever hear of the Trojan horse? The Trojan horse. You remember studying a little bit about that? I mean, I had a teacher, some of you remember, Sister Hatfield. Brother, you either learned Shakespeare and you learned some of that mythology, or you didn't get a grade in her class. And the Trojan horse was probably not real, probably mythical, but you remember the story. The story was, outside the city of Troy, they were trying to take the city, and the city had walls, and finally, the story goes that they built a wooden horse. Now, you've seen gigantic pictures of it. I don't think it would have had to been that big, but it had rollers on it. It had wheels on it. Remember the story? And after they couldn't take the city for a while, they built the horse, and they left it outside. And curiosity killed a cat. Anybody ever hear that? Good riddance. But anyway, curiosity about what that horse was out there. And finally, during the night, you remember how the citizens of Troy came out and rolled it inside the walls. But what they didn't know, there was something inside the Trojan horse. They call it the Trojan horse, and it's analyzed, it's talked about, because it represents trickery. It represents deception. And so the Trojan horse was rolled inside, but then during the night, it had a trap door on it, and it had some men hiding in it, some soldiers, and they came out and unlocked the gates to the wall, and the army came in, and they won the battle. They took the city. Now, I don't know if that was a mythical story or if it really happened. Some claim it did. But we still have cliches today, like beware of Greeks bearing gifts. You ever hear that? Well, that was the gift, see. See, some of the folks in the city thought, maybe this is a peace offering. Maybe we'll roll it in, and this means we don't have to fight no more. Maybe they left us a gift, or maybe we're stealing something, and it's sort of like stealing a watermelon. It tastes better if you get it, you know, and not supposed to have it. Still a lot of that in all of us. But the truth of the matter is, it was a con. It was a trick. And I want to say to you a little bit about it here for a few minutes this morning. I want to say that the Trojan horse is very pertinent to what's going on in America right now, especially in Christian circles. We need to beware. I want to name some ways that we see the Trojan horse today. To begin with, we see it in the time of deception that we're living in. We've, as it were, opened our gates. We, as though we've rolled it in the wall, as though we have accepted it, and we are being deceived by it in so many different ways. You know, Americans are the easiest targets there are. We drink water out of bottles and have no idea where it come from, though we pay more for it than we do the gas that goes in our car. Amen. We're gullible. I read something this week. It's not too pleasant to think about it. I love coffee. I drink coffee, but I'm not one of these fellows that'll pay double for gourmet coffee. That's not going to happen with me. But I was reading and actually had a picture of it. I'm not sure. It might have been in the local paper, wherever I saw it. But anyway, it showed over in Thailand, the elephants out there feeding and the men going, I ain't but one way to say it, and this word's in the Bible, elephant dung. And picking the beans out of the piles. And selling, listen to me, selling it for gourmet, exotic coffee in America. I'm not lying to you. They said it was better after it went through the elephant. Now, I'm going to still drink coffee, but I'll just stick with Folgers or something else. Amen. But you know, we look around today and we'd spot the Trojan horse trick everywhere we look. I mean, in America, we're seeing it. So many examples. You know, we heard, oh, yeah, they you know, we're going to catch the terrorists. And then we found out they're listening to all our phones. I mean, we've got the Trojan horse everywhere we look, in the health care plan. Well, you can keep your doctor's plan. You can keep your, come on. It's a Trojan horse we're being tricked with. Well, tax money won't go for abortion, but it is. Killing the babies. Well, the IRS, they'd never play favorites, but they do. We've been able to find that out. You say, well, it was just one woman, Lois Lerner. All I can say is we Americans are slow learners. We're not picking up on what the deception that's coming our way so much of the time. The sheriff just spoke to it a while ago. You know what medical marijuana is? That's a Trojan horse. I mean, that's the idea to bring that.